morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here in attendance today at Webster United Methodist Church, where God is good all the time.
All the time. God is good.
Amen. Not too many announcements today, but a few God sightings. For those who was able to attend last Sunday evening, it was spectacular. We had 108 people in attendance. And I lost count when we had more coming and sitting on the sides, but we know we had at least 108 in attendance for the LeMay Jazz Group. It was well received. One of the gentlemen who belonged to that group has asked if it was okay if he'd come back and play for us again one Sunday. And I said, well, of course. He is a concert violinist, and he was hoping he'd be able to share in our worship service and be part of that as well. So that's what it's all about, making connections and fellowshipping and getting to know people. Also, our fruit stand is officially open. It's been open now twice, and it was stripped earlier this week. And so we were just so pleased that we were able to help in the community. We've had several posts on Facebook thanking the church and the community for helping. I won't list names, but we did have one lady and her son that come by, and they said they were so blessed that they had a church that cared about moms and single kids, and she was able to get some corn and tomatoes and have supper with fresh vegetables that evening. So it's making a difference. Just the little bitty testimonies coming back and sharing. It's a blessing to me for sure to see that happening within the church. Do we have any other God sightings or announcements that we need to lift up today? Well, I'm going to say I really love these flowers over here. And the reason is because Diane was making funny faces this morning about the flower and how she had to pull its head through a picket fence and it was pouting. And now it's sitting there and it's just all bloomed out and it's smiling and kind of saying, yay, I'm in church today. So, and I also thank the team that was here yesterday that helped cut and clean and picked up around the place. You don't go unnoticed, and I know when these little things happen, and you're not asked to do it, but you do it because you just love the church, and I appreciate all of the work that is done here. So any other announcements or God sightings this morning? Well, for y'all, the God sighting is the sermon will be short today. I'm finishing up Revelation, so everyone can say, yay! So it'll be a very short sermon today. Mikey, behave yourself. All right, well, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord of all creation, we rejoice in your goodness and thank you for the gift of this new day. As we enter into worship, awaken our hearts and our minds by your Spirit. And Father, we ask that you draw us closer to you. May your truth shape our lives, your grace renew our spirits, and your love guide the way we serve one another in the world. We dedicate this service to your glory through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. And I will now ask that you will please turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 25 and read verses 6 through 9 as Diane brings us to focus upon the Lord. Thank you. Please stand if you're able and turn to page 89 in your red hymnals. We will sing Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, and we will do the first three verses. Please stand. Sing to the Lord a new song, for the Lord has done marvelous things. God's right hand and holy arm have gotten the victory.
The Lord has declared victory and has revealed his vindication in the sight of the nations.
The Lord has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel.
All the ends of the earth have seen the victory.
Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all of the earth.
Bring glory and joyous songs and sing your praises.
Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody.
With trumpets and the sound of the horn, make a joyful noise before the ruler of the Lord.
Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it.
Let the floods of the earth.
Intercessory prayers that need to be lifted up today. Yes, Miss Bonnie.
Continue prayers from Addison and JD. He's doing very well. and so is she, so the prayers are doing good. And prayers for my girlfriend Janice, whose pancreatic cancer is just starting to spread all through her body now. And prayers for Miss Betty, because she had a really bad day on Friday, and her family came Saturday, and they're going to be putting her in a nursing home soon, like maybe next week.
Are we talking about Janice or Miss Betty?
Betty.
Okay.
I walked through the door and she was ready to fall. I had to grab a chair and put it under her. She got really scared. She doesn't remember this happening, of course, but she wanted me to call her daughter right away. She didn't want to be alone anymore.
Okay. So definitely have prayers lifted for her. Any other prayer concerns this morning?
Well, continue prayers for my neighbor, Tony, and for my niece, Beverly.
And I also want to remember to keep Sue Campbell in y'all's prayers as well. She is a very dear friend of mine who is going through a couple forms of cancer right now. Her spirits are good and her faith is strong, but she still requests prayer. So we will lift her up as well. Yes, Fitz.
Pray for my daughter that she's able to maintain her strength and positive attitude through the stresses of moving and dealing with school and the sick husband.
I know she had a fall or twisted her leg or something.
Yeah, she twisted her knee, and she's in the same kind of mobilizer brace that I lived in for 4 months, only she's able to put weight on it.
Well, that's a bonus.
That's a big difference.
Yeah.
She's now walking without crutches. But she's still in a lot of pain. She still can't do the things that she needs to do.
We'll pray for strength for her in so many different ways. Yes, Jade.
Pray for my dad. My papa Larry had passed away a while back, and he hadn't put my dad's home in his name. Everything sort of messed up. My mom Nancy had strokes after her father had passed away, and she can't think right, and everything sort of messed up with the land, and Dad's brothers, it's a long story, but he's struggling with that. And
now, is this the other side of the family?
Yeah, my dad, the Phillipses, you don't know him.
Okay. So we'll pray for the family of your
Steve,
okay.
Yes.
Any other prayer requests this morning? Okay, then let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you seeking your strength and your protection. And we ask that you lift up those among us who are sick, lonely, or suffering from mental illness or other forms of hardship. May your healing hand bring comfort and restoration, and may your loving presence surround those mentioned today, J.D., Madison, Sue, Miss Betty and her family, Janice, Tommy, Beverly, Amanda, and Jade's dad's family, Steve. We ask that you bring peace and hope. We pray also for our nation, asking that you guide its leaders with wisdom and uphold justice, compassion, and unity among all of your people. Bless our communities and inspire us to be instruments of your love and mercy in the world. As we unite our hearts in prayer this morning, let us now join together the words our Savior taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And I will now ask Miss Bonnie if she will join me at the table. Please join me in the offertory prayer. Gracious and loving God, you are making all things new. As we bring these gifts before you, receive them as signs of our gratitude and hope.
Use them to bring healing where there is brokenness, comfort where there is sorrow, and light where there is darkness. May our giving reflect our trust in your promise that one day you will dwell fully with your people and make all creation new. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Verses 1 through 7, and Miss Fitz is our liturgist for today.
Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming out of the heaven from God, arrayed like a bride adorned for her husband. And then I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will live among them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will no longer be death, there will no longer be sorrow and anguish, or crying or pain, for the former order of things has passed away." And he who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I'm making all these things new." Also he said, write for those words are faithful and true. They are accurate, incorruptible, and trustworthy. And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the one who thirsts, I will give water from the fountain of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes the world by adhering faithfully to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son."
This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So today's message for those who are joining us online is called A New Heaven and a New Earth. Every great story leaves us wondering, how's it going to end? Now, I know there's some of us who loves to actually go to the end of the book and read the ending before we actually even start, which even leaves us more confused. Whether it's a novel we can't put down, a movie that keeps us on the edge of the seats, or the story of our own lives, we long for an ending that makes sense how everything came to be before we even knew what was going on. We hope justice will prevail. We hope what is broken will somehow be made whole again. Perhaps that longing is planted deep within us because we're created by a God who has always intended to finish his story well. All of us want a happily ever after. We want the Disney version where everything is nice, all love is found, all the wrongs have been right. We grew up believing in that. And somewhere down the road, as adults, we kind of lost that happily ever after. And that's where John is finding himself now. After all the visions, the symbols, the songs of heaven, the judgments upon evil, the victory of the Lamb, and the opening of the scrolls, God has finally brought John to the final pages of Revelation. Now, many people expect John to satisfy our curiosity about heaven, its streets paved with gold, gates of pearl, and what eternity might look like. And these are good questions. I mean, I'm asking those questions ever since I was a little kid. But John has something even greater to show us. He is less interested in describing where we are going, but more interested in revealing what God has been doing all along. Now John writes, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And for the first heaven and the first earth, it's gone. It's disappeared. It's no more." And these familiar words kind of challenge us with some of the most common assumptions that we grew up with as children. Now, I talked about this, it might have been to Diane or Mike, I'm not sure, about these embedded theologies about how we grew up believing something that someone taught us. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong, but I'm not saying they were right either. But they're hand-me-down theologies. My question when I ask each one of you is, what do you believe based on reading the Bible? What do you know based on your own experience, your own reasoning, your tradition, and scripture? We call that the Wesley Quadrilateral. What do you know? What is your own declared theology? Is it something that's been handed to you and you just accepted it? Or do you challenge and do you read scripture to find out, what do I believe? Well, this is what John is going to tell us. It challenges our assumptions that we grew up believing that the goal of Christian life was to leave this earth and we're going to go to heaven. That is what we've been taught to believe. But that is not what John sees in this vision. John does not describe believers escaping the earth. He describes heaven coming to earth. I bet y'all haven't really looked at that, have you? He says, "I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God." Notice the direction. The city is descending. John's vision is not one of escape, but of restoration. In our very own Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come," we're inviting God's kingdom here to us. "Thy will be done as on earth as it is in heaven." When John uses the word new, it means renewed, refreshed, transformed, restored. Think of a centuries-old cathedral that has been lovingly restored. And we call it like new, not because it has been replaced, but because its beauty has been recovered. When we go and we trade a car and we get another car, do we say, I went out and bought a used car? No, I went out and bought me a new car. Why is it new? Because it's something fresh in our life. It's something we've not experienced yet. See, the beauty has been recovered. It has been replaced. We appreciate it. And that is John's picture. God is not throwing away his creation. He's making all things new. And that reveals something about the heart of God. I'm glad he hasn't thrown me away for one. Through scripture, he restores what sin has broken. Sin has broken relationships, people, communities, and ultimately creation itself. There's nothing that makes me madder to be driving down the road and see someone take a bottle and throw it out on God's creation, just littering the roads. God answers to brokenness. He has never abandoned us. He has never abandoned his creation, but he has redeemed it. And then John hears one of the greatest announcements in all of Scripture. Look, the dwelling place of God is now among the people. God is here. And he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them, and he will be their God. Those words is the climax, not of only Revelation, but of the whole Bible. We have come to the pinnacle of the story of what's happening. We come so fascinated with Revelation's imagery that we miss the greatest promise in this whole book. The greatest promise is not golden streets of jeweled gates. It's not even an absence of suffering. The greatest promise is the presence of God. From Eden to the tabernacle, from the temple to Jesus Christ, the story of Scripture has always been about God moving toward us, coming toward us. Revelation brings that story to its glorious conclusion. There is no temple because there is no separation. Revelation brings that story to us. Everything the Bible has been pointing to is now fulfilled in this moment. And John continues, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. Think about all the tears shed throughout history. Tears beside the hospital bed, in cemeteries, over the broken relationships, shattered dreams, loneliness, injustice, and loss. John does not say we're going to stop crying. He says God himself will wipe away your tears. That image of a father coming down and wiping my tears. That image is deeply personal. The same God who came near in Jesus comes near again, removing forever everything that has caused us grief and sorrow. Death will be no more. Mourning, crying, and pain will pass away because God's new creation has finally arrived. And then comes the declaration that has echoed throughout the centuries. Behold, I am making all things new. Notice what God does not say in this. He does not say, I'm making all new things. He does not say that. He says, I'm making all things new. And that is the promise of this gospel. The God who raised Jesus from the dead is renewing his entire creation. Sin, suffering, and death do not have the final words. God does. John then invites us further into this renewed creation. The angel shows him the river of the water of life as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And on either side stands the tree of life, bearing fruit every month with leaves for the healing of the nations. Can we imagine a world where everyone gets along? Can we imagine a world where there is peace? And it doesn't matter what we believe as long as our focus is on God. Think about that. Everyone loves each other. I'm actually looking forward to seeing that. I am personally sick of the division that has been caused in this country. And I am looking forward to seeing God unite us all as brothers and sisters of Christ. The final chapter of the Bible echoes the first. What humanity lost in Eden has been restored. The tree of life is no longer guarded. The river flows freely. The curse has been lifted. God's good creation has reached the future he intended from the beginning. John says the leaves are for the healing of the nations. What a beautiful picture. He sees a world no longer divided by hatred and violence and prejudice or war. Every wound that has scarred humanity is finally healed. And evil does not get to write the last chapter of this book. The Lamb does. God's future is not chaos, but peace. It's not division, it's healing. It is not despair, it's restoration. And then John says, no longer will there be any curse. Now the curse that he is referring to is Adam's sin. We have carried that with us. Those few words carry the weight of the entire Bible. The curse that entered the world in Genesis touched and contaminated everything. Our relationship with God, one another, our work, our bodies, and even creation itself. And we live with those consequences every day. The curse is temporary. Praise God. Grace is eternal. Christ bore the curse upon himself on that cross. And through his resurrection, he began the work of the new creation. What John now sees, what we call Easter, is brought to its completion as Christ's victory, and it reaches every corner of creation. Perhaps the most beautiful verse in this chapter is Revelation 22:4. They will see his face. Can you imagine looking into the eyes of God? For generations, that privilege has seemed impossible. Moses only could glimpse at God's glory. Isaiah was overwhelmed by God's holiness. And throughout the Old Testament, God's presence remained veiled. You couldn't even step on holy land without taking your shoes off. But now there is no veil, no separation, no distance. The greatest joy of eternity will not simply be where we are. It will be who we are with. That is important. Sometimes we spend so much time pondering about what heaven is that we forget heaven's greatest treasure is Jesus himself. Every longing we have, every care carried finds its fulfillment in seeing the face of the one who has loved us from the beginning, from the very foundation of the world. As I have reflected on this passage, I have thought about the word home. Most of us knows what it feels like to be homesick. Sometimes that feeling comes even when you're sitting in your own house. We sense that something is missing, that the world is not where it should be. C.S. Lewis once wrote that if we find within ourselves the desire that nothing in this world can satisfy us, perhaps we were made for another world. And John would agree. Deep within every believer is a longing for that day when God will make everything right. That longing is not escapism. It is hope rooted in Jesus. And that hope shapes how we live today. Because we know God is making all things new, we become people of renewal. We feed the hungry because one day the hungry will be no more. We care for the sick because sickness will be no more. We seek reconciliation because nations will be healed. We care for God's creation because it matters to God who created it and it intends to redeem it. We do not withdraw from the world while we wait for Christ. We bear witness to his kingdom that's already breaking into this world. In just a few moments, we're going to gather around the Lord's table. And there could not be a more fitting way to conclude both this sermon and this series. Every time we come to this table, we remember what Christ has done through his death and resurrection. But we also proclaim that his story is not finished. Jesus told his disciples he will not drink of the fruit of the vine again until he drank it new with them in his Father's kingdom. And every time we celebrate this meal, we receive a foretaste of that coming day. We come as people who will still live in a broken world, but we come as a believer believing that a better day will be here. Around this table, heaven and earth draw us a little bit closer together. Here we receive grace for the journey until faith becomes sight. John closes the book of Revelation with one final prayer. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. This is not a prayer born out of fear. It's a prayer born out of hope. And that is what the book of Revelation has been all about. Not one to scare people, to intimidate or to harass, or leave people more confused than what they were before they started reading it. I've heard so many people say, I just can't read that book. I don't understand it. It's more confusing than it is anything else. So don't think about this book meant to frighten God's people. Leave knowing it is a book written to strengthen God's people. It reminds us that Christ is victorious. The Lamb is worthy. Evil will not prevail. And God has promised to make all things new. Now, I am going to mention one thing as a sidebar, and if you wish to discuss this after church, I would be glad to stay around with you and discuss it. There is a verse that I did not include in this passage, and it is verse 8. It is about the repercussions of not following God. So if you want to talk about that, we will discuss that after church. But until that day, when God does show up, we're going to live in hope. We're going to worship with joy. And we're going to serve with faithfulness and come to this table trusting the one who's already given us a taste of the kingdom that is yet to come. He is already here with us in so many different ways. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now I'm going to ask that you please join me at the table. And I'll ask Ms. Sonia to come up and help me in this. I believe page 13 is page 13 in your hymnal. And we will partake of the Lord's Supper. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and ever, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets, who looked for that day when justice shall roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, when nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, thou power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that time had come when you would have saved your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. At his ascension, you exalted him to sit and reign with you at your right hand. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these young, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ himself, Christ risen, Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
Body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Now I will ask that when you are ready, please come and receive the Lord's Supper. As always, the altar is open for anyone who wishes to have a little talk with God. Please come and hear it.
Thank you.
While Diane's making her way around, I will ask that you please turn in your red hymnals to page 706. We will do all three verses. If you will look at the very bottom, there's a number 2 and a number 3. So we will do all three verses of soon and very soon. Please stand if you're able. Compassion. As you leave this place, carry his light into the world and be a blessing to all that you encounter. In the name of Jesus, amen.